think they want to leave, just saying. Please follow along either in your Bibles or on the screen. If you do not have a Bible, we would love to give one as a gift. Larry in the back will be more than happy to give you one if you want to raise your hand to get a Bible. Today's scripture is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 to 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Deb. So we're in a series right now called Becoming Your Best Self. We're talking about what it looks like for us to become fit for the kingdom. And we're looking at health overall, whether it's physical, mental, relational, emotional, and spiritual. So last week we talked about renewing your mind. And that kind of helps us segue into this next message. Everywhere you look today, people are talking about detoxing, whether it is a juice cleanse or a sugar fast, maybe a social media break or a gut health reset. I feel like there's a lot of talk right now about gut health. And I think the reason for that is because we are becoming increasingly aware that what stays inside of us eventually shapes how we live and how we feel. When toxins build up in the body, they don't sit there quietly. They create inflammation. They create other somatic symptoms and slowly start to disrupt vital systems in our bodies, right? We have difficulty with brain fog and concentration. We may become zapped of our energy. We may experience bouts of depression. And yet, many people who are extremely careful about what they put in their bodies are completely negligent of what they allow to remain in their hearts. And that is just as important. You can drink a green smoothie every morning. You could run 3 miles a day. You could avoid dyes and fats and sugars all you want and still have health issues if toxins are circulating through your soul. And Paul identifies these toxins. The first one is bitterness. So bitterness is what happens when unresolved hurt has taken up permanent residence in us. We try to suppress it, which doesn't really work. You relive it without ever really finding a way to heal. It whispers things like, keep your guard up, make them pay, don't let them off the hook. Bitterness behaves like a cancer in our spiritual lives, right? Cancer cells, for the most part, do not stay contained. They grow and they multiply and they spread. Bitterness and resentment spreads into your relationships, your prayer life, your sleep, your outlook on life, even your physical health. Bitterness is like drinking poison in hopes that it will destroy the person that hurts you. It doesn't work. You can carry bitterness for 20, 30, 50 years while the person who hurt you sleeps just fine. The only person that bitterness hurts is you. The second toxin that Paul identifies is rage and anger. So anger itself is not always sinful, right? Jesus showed us what righteous anger looks like. There is such a thing. You know, he was angry at the way the merchants abused the temple, how the religious leaders cast aside those who needed the most support. There are injustices in this world today that we should be angry about. And you can be sure that God is angry about them too. But what Paul is referring to in this passage is the emotional response to unresolved bitterness and resentment. Right? When we have bitterness and resentment that continues to fester in us, eventually it starts to leak out in revenge, impatience, overreactions, hostility. Unresolved anger has a way of making us emotionally unstable. Third toxin he identifies is slander and malice. So when toxins build up internally, they eventually come out physically and verbally. Like that closet that we throw junk into and shut the door on it, right? And we keep adding the junk to it and closing the door real fast and hoping that no one will open the door. Do any of you have a closet like that at home? When we internalize hurts upon resentments, upon bitterness and anger, without ever addressing it, we can only shove it in there so far, right? And then the door opens one day, and you can't hold it back any longer. And so it starts to spill out, and it is disastrous. You've probably heard the saying, hurt people hurt people. And that's what happens when hurt people don't get the support they need or find healthy ways to process and detox and heal from these emotions. They end up hurting people. And church, hear this gently. You cannot become your best self while secretly hoping someone gets what they deserve, while refusing to forgive, while refusing to confess our bitterness and our resentment. That is a false sense of justice. Notice Paul does not suggest that we manage these toxins, these emotions. He says, get rid of them. Paul is saying there is zero room in our heart for these things. Medical research increasingly confirms what Scripture has long been teaching us, that chronic anger and unforgiveness elevates stress hormones, it causes inflammation in the body, and it suppresses our immune system. I dare you to do your own research on that. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Jesus said, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Colossians 3:13. "As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." I think it's pretty clear what God is commanding here, and it's not optional. We have to release these toxins from us. Holding on to resentment not only blocks your healing and recovery, but it blocks God's forgiveness in your life. Luke 6:37, Jesus said, "Do not judge others, and God will not judge you. Do not condemn others, and God will not condemn you. Forgive others, and God will forgive you." God is not commanding forgiveness just to make us obedient. I need you to hear that and know that. He is commanding it because He desires our wholeness. He desires for us to be made whole. You cannot be spiritually vibrant while emotionally infected. You cannot be relationally healthy while internally rehearsing the offenses. You cannot be mentally renewed while living in the past. And you certainly cannot be fit for the work of the kingdom if your energy is being drained by yesterday's pain. You need to detox of bitterness, anger, resentment, slander. And the gospel is our detox plan. Paul does not just tell us what to remove. He also tells us what to replace it with. And he says, surprise, be kind and compassionate, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. This is crucial. I think we all can agree that forgiveness is a beautiful thing until we have to practice it ourselves. The Bible says we cannot receive what we are unwilling to give. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We cannot pray that and then say, I refuse to forgive. You need to forgive because God's forgiven you, because resentment does not work, and because you are going to need forgiveness in the future. You will never consistently forgive others if you fail to remember how much you have been forgiven. The cross reminds us we were not excused, we were forgiven. Not because we earned it, not because we deserved it, but because God is rich in mercy. Jesus did not wait for the perfect apology before extending us forgiveness. Paul said, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, which means God made the first move. And when you truly grasp that, the question shifts from, why should I forgive them, to how could I withhold what God has freely poured into me? I'm not saying it will come instantly or easily, but it will gradually as grace shapes our hearts. Before we go any further, I want to speak very carefully here. Whenever forgiveness is preached, you know, this is one of those topics that is hard for us pastors to preach. It's right up there with tithing and stewardship. Because when we preach about forgiveness, there are hearts among us that instantly tighten, because the wounds were not small. Some of you were not just merely offended. You were abandoned. You were betrayed. You were manipulated and abused. You were deeply sinned against. And let me say something very clearly. Forgiveness is not pretending it didn't hurt. We are not trying to minimize anybody's pain. Forgiveness is not saying what happened to you was okay. Forgiveness is not letting the offender off the hook. And forgiveness is not, it doesn't always mean reconciliation. Okay, there are situations that require very strict boundaries. There are situations that require distance. It is possible to forgive someone without actually coming into contact with them. Forgiveness is more an attitude of the heart than it is a confrontation. God is not asking you to re-enter a toxic or unsafe situation. He is not asking you to become somebody's doormat or to subject yourself to further abuse. He is inviting you to freedom. Because unforgiveness keeps you emotionally in bondage to the person who hurt you. Forgiveness is not declaring that they deserve peace. Forgiveness is declaring, I deserve freedom. And God desires that freedom for you. Some of us are asking God for growth while refusing to release what is poisoning us. You know, imagine going to your doctor and saying, I want to get healthy, but I really need to hang on to these toxins in my body. It doesn't work. You cannot step fully into what God is calling you to be while drinking the poison in hopes it's destroying the other person. Hebrews warns us, see to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See, bitterness doesn't just affect you. You might have been the one that got hurt. You might have been the victim. But bitterness spills onto your children, your spouses, your friends, your work. You know, many harsh parenting moments are not really about what the child said or did. It might be about unhealed wounds in the parent. Many marital conflicts are not about present disagreements. They're about unresolved histories. If we want to become our best selves, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, detoxing is not optional. It is essential. If you are someone who is struggling to forgive someone, maybe it's something you have struggled with most of your life, I want to offer you some hope by giving you a glimpse of what forgiveness looks like in your life. So first thing is, it is a decision before it is a feeling. It is an act of will. I tell people when they get married, love is oftentimes the actions we do in spite of how we feel in the moment. And the same principle applies here. It is a decision before a feeling. It is a choice. And if you wait until you feel ready to forgive, you might never get there. It entrusts justice to God. We are not the judge, but by harboring bitterness and resentment and anger and withholding forgiveness, we are trying to play the role of the judge. We are not the judge. God is the judge, and he is far better at justice than we are. Forgiveness does not, again, it does not let your offender off the hook. They still have to answer to God for what they did. You forgive so that you can be free, and you let God handle the rest. It asks God to heal what you cannot. Some wounds require divine surgery. And sometimes forgiveness begins with a very honest prayer. Lord, I am not there yet, but I am willing to become willing. And that is a prayer that moves heaven. I want to show you a video. This is Corrie Ten Boom. You've heard me talk about her before, a survivor of the Holocaust. And she spent her life, after coming out of the concentration camp, she spent her life teaching about forgiveness and freedom after experiencing firsthand the horrors of being in a concentration camp. So we're going to watch this video.
It was some time ago that I was in Berlin. And there came a man to me and said, Mr. Bohm, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me? Suddenly I saw that man that was one of the most cruel aufsehers in concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian. I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein Ten Boom, will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew I myself have no forgiveness. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5, and thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either. But he can.
Did you get that last part? Some of us with deep wounds have trouble finding the strength to forgive by ourselves. And I think the point here is that we don't try to do it by ourselves, because we can't without God's help. So if you are willing, he can work with that. So I'm not a doctor, but let me gently offer you a diagnostic. You might need detox if someone's name instantly changes your mood. If you replay conversations that happened years ago, if you feel satisfaction imagining their demise or despair, if you struggle to celebrate others or feel compassionate toward others because hurt has hardened you, you may need detox if you are easily triggered or if your heart feels guarded rather than open. Friend, that is not the life that Jesus purchased for you. Jesus did not go to the cross so that you could live emotionally imprisoned. He came to set captives free, including those captive to resentment, bitterness, and anger. What might your life look like if bitterness no longer occupied space in your heart? I could tell you a few things that might happen. You'll have more peace. You'll sleep better. You'll have healthier relationships. You'll have greater emotional capacity. You'll have clearer spiritual hearing because you won't be blocked in your prayers. When toxins leave, vitality returns. Forgiveness is a command. There is no denying that. I think Jesus was abundantly clear on that. But more than that, it is an invitation to abundant life. So let me offer you just three simple starting points. Ask God to reveal what it is you are carrying. You know, sometimes we normal bitterness, especially in our culture today, like it is so ingrained in us. You get on social media, and there are a lot of bitter people out there because they're angry at the way the world works today. You know, how we relate to each other. And it's just something that we've had ingrained in us for so long, so we've normalized it. But pray, Lord, show me what is making my heart heavy. And then name that wound honestly. God heals what we reveal. James said, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And I think that also includes those toxins that we have in our hearts. Take the first step toward release. You know, maybe today you say, I'm done drinking the poison. Maybe you seek counseling. Maybe you have a conversation with somebody you trust. Maybe you write a letter to your offender and never send it. Or simply have a moment at the altar railing later in the service. Last week I said this series is not about becoming our best selves. It is about becoming people who surrender themselves to God. Healing often begins with one surrendered step. Imagine preparing for a long hike. God has incredible terrain laid out for you. Purpose, impact, joy, growth. But before you start the journey, you start filling your backpack with stones labeled resentment, betrayal, anger, offense. You might still move forward, but you will do so slowly, painfully, and exhausted. Church, you were not meant to carry those stones. Christ already carried that weight to the cross. So travel light. Release what is heavy and detox what is deadly so you can become your best self, whole, healthy, and ready for the work of the kingdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today we come before you with honest hearts. You see what others cannot, the wounds we carry, the memories that still ache, the bitterness we have tried to bury that continues to shape us. Lord, we confess that sometimes it feels easier to hold on to hurt than to release it, easier to protect ourselves than to trust again. But today you have reminded us that you did not create us to live weighed down, poisoned by resentment or chained by yesterday's pain. So we ask you now to search our hearts. Expose every root of bitterness. Bring into the light what we have kept hidden in the dark. And then, Lord, give us the courage to surrender it to you. For those who have been deeply wounded, surround them with your tenderness. Remind them that you are a God who sees, a God who defends, and a God who heals. And where forgiveness feels impossible, do what only you can do. Soften hearts, restore what is broken, and bind up every unseen injury. Teach us to forgive, Lord, not because the hurt is small, but because your mercy toward us has been so great. Jesus, we thank you for the cross where justice and mercy meet and where our sins were carried away. Help us to extend the same grace we have received. Free us from the toxins of anger, resentment, and unforgiveness, and lead us forward as a reflection of you, spiritually alive, emotionally healthy, relationally strong, and fit for every good work you have prepared for us. In the powerful and forgiving name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.